Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. That's where we're at on Wednesday evenings, whenever we have the opportunity. It's been a week or two since we've been able to gather for preaching service. As far as me standing behind this pulpit anyway on a Wednesday night in some time, I'm thankful for missions, glad to be able to hear from our missionaries and be able to hear what God's doing for them and through them, and we appreciate what they do for us. But I'm glad to be able to be back in the book of Mark tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse number 29 is where we're going to begin reading tonight. And thinking on this thought, always an antidote. Always an antidote. I'm glad that with Jesus, there's always a cure. Amen? There's always an answer. And we find this is something that those that come in contact with Him find out. If you linger around Jesus long enough, He'll help you solve your problems. If you found your place, let's stand tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse number 29. The Bible says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." And you may be seated tonight. We find Mark. I love the book of Mark because it's an action book. I believe as we study and as we're going to, throughout the entire Gospel of Mark, we find that there's always a lot of action going on. It's not a dull book. It's not one of these ho-hum books that you wonder if it's ever going to pick up. No, I'll tell you, this Word of God is always real. It's always live. But there's something special about the Gospel of Mark, where that Mark just seems to go from one event into another. We find that as we left last time, we find that Jesus was able to deliver one, was able to help one, and we find that He was able to help that unclean spirit be brought out of an individual. We find that they were there at the synagogue. And now we find here in verse number 29, the Bible says, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue," the Bible says they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. I want us to think about this thought, about what they were doing there in verse number 29. I believe they were entertaining His company. My friend, I believe that there's always an antidote when we entertain the company of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now you say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm telling you that they just left the synagogue. Now, that synagogue was that assembly of the Jews that they met. They assembled themselves for prayer. They assembled themselves to hear the Word of God read and the Word of God taught and the Word of God proclaimed. They were there gathering themselves to give worth, to ascribe worship unto Jehovah God. And we find that whenever they left the house, they took Jesus with them. Boy, ain't that a truth that a lot of folks need to have in the day and time in which we live. My friend, it's good to come to church. It's good to come and assemble ourselves. It's good to come to sing the old-time hymns. It's good to come and to worship and to praise and to pray in an old-fashioned altar. It's good to gather around the Word of God that we might be able to hear it taught, might be able to hear it proclaimed, might be able to hear somebody stand up and rightly divide the truth that's before us. But boy, ain't it good to leave and then take Jesus with us? Boy, if this lost and dying world could see a church that would take Jesus with them into their home, see a church that would take Jesus unto the job place, take Jesus into the school, take Jesus wherever we go, my friend, we'd find that there'd be great power amongst the church today. But so many people just want Jesus to be held within the four walls of that sanctuary. They want Jesus to be there in that place that they know they can go to and they can meet with Him. But my friend, I want to tell you tonight, we don't have to be in church to meet with Jesus. Praise God. My friend, we can be on top of the mountain and He can be more real to us there, than it can be in some dried up Baptist churches that we have scattered across our land tonight. My friend, we can be out there in the depths of the sea. They've been up yonder in the North Atlantic searching out that Titanic, sending down them 3D cameras and trying to see some sights that ain't been seen in a long, long time. But I want to tell you what, God's just as real down there in the bottom of that North Atlantic Ocean as He's as real up yonder on the mountaintop, as He's as real in the house of God, and He can be just as real with you wherever you're at. So I want to tell you tonight, we need to entertain His company if we're going to have the answers to our problems. We need to entertain His company wherever we go. So the Bible says, and forthwith, that means immediately, straightway, when they were come out of the synagogue, the Bible says that they, that being Simon and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and they had Jesus with them, and the Bible says that they entered in to Simon's house. Now the Bible tells us here in verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon, which means straightforth or immediately, it means that they tell him of her. I believe we're going to have the antidote for our problems. I believe we're going to have the cure and the solution for everything that might trouble us tonight. We not only need to be entertaining His company, but we need to be like these folks. They were inquiring His conclusion. Look what it says there. It says, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and what they do? They told him of her. My friend Jesus, He's waiting for you. Hey, He knows the problem, amen? I believe that whenever He was standing there in the synagogue on that very day, and He looked out across that crowd, and He saw that Simon's mother-in-law was not with them, that He knew everything that was going on within her. He knew everything that was going on about her. He knew what her sickness was. He knew what brought on the sickness. He knew what the antidote for the sickness was. But my friend, He was just waiting for somebody to tell Him about her. Now, that's exactly what Jesus wants you and I to do. He wants us to inquire of Him. He wants us to seek Him. Say, Jesus, what's your diagnosis for the problem? Hey, you know what the problem is? A lot of times, we don't want to know what Jesus' diagnosis is. Or we want to know what it is, but we don't follow what He prescribes unto us. And that's exactly what's wrong with a lot of families. Hey, we've got the truth. We've got the Word of God. We've got everything that we need to be successful in the Christian walk. But so many times, we'd rather follow the crowd. So many times, we'd rather be accepted amongst our peers than to follow what Jesus has prescribed for us to do and what He's proclaimed that we should be. My friend, I believe that we need to inquire what Jesus wants. Now, just to straighten something out right here and something that differs in our doctrine, but don't you look what it says there. It says Simon's wife's mother. Now, there's in the Catholic Church, they believe the first pontiff was Peter. That's pontiff means pope. And they practice celibacy, and they separate themselves because they're following in the way of what they proclaim the Bible to be. But I want you to see here, Simon was a married man. Simon had a wife. Simon had a mother-in-law. So I really don't understand where they derived that doctrine from. But my friend, I'm thankful to say that I'm free to have a wife. Amen. I'm thankful to say that I'm free to have a family. The Bible tells us here, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Now, she had an illness. She had a fever. It was like a fire that was burning within her. I believe that she was very sick. She was very ill. She might have been that way for some time. But we find here that they begin to realize, hey, if anybody can help us, this man can. And they begin to inquire his conclusion. We also see here in verse number 31, not only, my friend, or we will have the antidote, and we'll always have the antidote if we entertain his company, inquire his conclusion, but we find here in verse number 31 that they were embracing his capability. My friend, you've got to embrace Jesus. You've got to believe. You've got to trust Him. Hey, you've got to believe that He is capable, that He is able, that He has the power to help you wherever you're at in this walk of life. The Bible says there in verse number 31, it says, and He came. He came and He took her by the hand and lifted her up. Now, I believe that what it's describing here, and Luke, that physician, that Greek physician, he begins to describe the great physician, and he begins to tell of exactly what that he did. The Bible says that he came upon her just as if she was laid out there, and just as if that she was there, she could not help herself. She was sick. She might have been dying. She might have been on her last breath. She was standing on her last leg, and we find that Jesus came unto her. My friend, I know exactly what Jesus did for you when you had no hope, when you had no ability to help yourself, when there was no place to go. My friend, the burdens were heavy. Hey, my friend, I'm telling you what, the heart was overwhelmed. But my friend, Jesus came to where you are. Well, I'm thankful that He is capable of doing great things. And my friend, what's He looking for us to do? He's looking for us to embrace Him. The Bible says there that He came, He stood over her, and the Bible says there that He took her by the hand. Now, that's exactly what Jesus is wanting to do tonight. He's standing here with arms outstretched. He's standing here with a hand that's extended unto you. And you say, Jesus, I've got a problem. Jesus, I've got something that's weighing down upon me. And my friend, I don't know where to go. I ought to tell you, Jesus is standing with His hand outstretched. And what He's waiting for you to do is to take your feeble hand and to put it in His strong hand. He wants you to take your weak hand and put it in His powerful hand. He wants you to take your human hand and put it in His immortal hand. He wants you to take your hand that has no ability to do anything and to place it in His nail-scarred hand and believe and trust that Jesus is capable of overcoming your problem. There's many times we say, Jesus, that there's no hope for my husband. There's no hope. I'll tell you what, with Jesus, there is hope for your husband. You say, there's no hope for my wife. There's no hope for my girlfriend. There's no hope for that one that I'm so burdened by. Preacher, I've got children, and there's no hope for them. It seems like that they just don't want Jesus. And you say, I've got grandyoungins that are running wild caught up in the things of the world. There's no hope for them. I want to tell you what, if they'd reach out and they'd take Jesus by the hand, they'd realize that there is hope, that there is a way, that there's a cure for their wickedness and their sinfulness and their misery. My friend, there is an antidote, and it comes when we embrace His capability. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we might ask or think. She placed His hand in His hand, and the Bible says He lifted her up. The Bible says there that He lifted her. To lift her up means that He caused her to rise. He aroused her from her state of sleep. He aroused her from her state of death. He aroused her, enabled her to call upon Him. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus will come by and He'll lift you up if you look unto Him. But you got to have faith, believing. Amen. I'll tell you what, she was there with the physical Jesus before her eyes. She was there with the incarnate Son of God standing over her like a great physician would. And she looked unto Him and she trusted in His eyes. She trusted in His character. She trusted in whom that He said that He was. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to know. We can't see Him. We can't touch Him. We can't hear Him with an audible ear. But by faith, believing and trusting, I'll tell you what, if you'll call upon Him, you'll feel Him. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. You might not feel Him with these hands, but you'll feel Him in the depths of your soul if you truly call upon Him tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, there is an antidote for what your problem is. When we are entertaining His company, when we're inquiring His conclusion, when we're embracing His capability. Look what happens here in verse number 31. The Bible says, and immediately the fever left her. Immediately, that which had caused her pain, that which had caused her discomfort, that which had laid her out and enabled her not to be able to do anything upon her own power, we find that that was gone, my friend. I'll tell you, when you trust in Jesus, and I'm not just talking about when you get saved. I tell you what, I believe there's a lot of genuine, born-again, blood-washed children of God that are walking around in the mully grubs, that are wandering in the wilderness because those that are not walking by faith every day, in every decision, every way that we live. My friend, the Bible here says, I believe and teaches us that whenever she looked upon Him, immediately, instantaneously, straight forth, immediately, that the Bible says right there that the fever left her. I'll tell you what, when you ask Jesus for His help and truly 100% place your faith and your trust in Him and Him alone, I'll tell you what, He'll bring a cure. He'll bring an antidote. He'll bring a solution. I'm glad that whenever you place your faith and trust in Him, you're saved just like that. Hey, you're heading to hell one moment, but you trust in Jesus just like that. Your name's wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, you're not on the highway to hell no more, but you're going to heaven to live with Him eternally, forevermore. And it happens just like that. Hey, the Bible here tells us here that also she began. Now listen, I believe we see here she was exalting His concern. My friend, I'll tell you what, whenever you've truly experienced the concern of Jesus, when you've truly experienced and began to be able to see exactly all that Christ has done for you, and you realize that He was so concerned about you that He gave of His life's blood. He left glory above and allowed Himself to be made in the image of you and I, in the likeness of our flesh. And He felt what you feel, and He sees the things you see. And my friend, I want to tell you, He died upon Calvary so that you wouldn't have to face hell. Is so concerned about you that He left the Father above and allowed Himself to become sin for you and for me and died there. I believe He'd have died just for you, Miss Lois. I believe He'd have died just for you, Eddie. I believe He'd have died just for you, Brother Kevin. If you can get that in your mind and realize that Jesus' love is so concerned about you, I believe when we experience that, I believe what we'll do is we'll begin to exalt Him. And you say, how can you do that, preacher? It's when you begin to serve Him. It's when you begin to live for Him. It's when you begin to do for Him what that only God's children can do, and that is to uplift Him and to magnify Him. Hey, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus being magnified and uplifted in every aspect of our life. He just wants to be exalted. Look what the Bible says there. It says there, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Hey, this woman that was not able to do anything a few moments before, now is able to get up and to go and maybe go prepare the meal. Maybe go and prepare and help her daughter prepare the meal. Maybe go and help her daughter serve the table. Go and help her daughter minister unto Jesus and minister unto Simon and Andrew and James and John and whomever else might have been there. I'll tell you what, whenever you're saved and you're serving Jesus, hey, it won't matter whom it is that you're serving, because you know, and I mean serving, it don't matter whom you're out there ministering unto, as long as you know you're magnifying Jesus. Hey, there's a lot of people that won't walk across the road because there's somebody of a different color, of a different race, of a different ethnic background. They say, well, that's above and beyond me. I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you what, whenever you're serving Jesus and you're loving Jesus, hey, it don't hurt to go knock on a door of somebody you don't know from Adam and ask them if they've ever come to a place in their life they felt like this to die, that they'd go to heaven or they'd go to hell. Hey, it don't hurt to go to jail when you know why you're going. It ain't because of anything other than the fact that you want to exalt Jesus and magnify Him. Hey, you go on the mission field. You'll give to, missions. Hey, whatever you do, you'll do it because you received His concern. And all you want to do is exalt Him. I believe, hey, there's an antidote. Hey, one of the best antidotes for your sorrows and one of the best antidotes for my pity parties is to get my eyes off of me and for you to get your eyes off of you and begin to think about what Jesus did for you. And my friend, it'll encourage you. It'll encourage me to go out and tell somebody that Jesus loves them and that He has a plan and a purpose for their life. Hey, she was exalting His concern. Look with us here in verse number 32. We find here that the tide begins to turn. The Bible says, and at even, that being that evening part of the day, the Bible says, when the sun did set, the Bible says, they brought unto Him all that were diseased and to them that were possessed with devils. You see here, all of a sudden we find here that there were those that were on the outside that were expecting His consolation. Hey, I'll tell you what, whenever things get real on the inside of the house, there's folks on the outside of the house, they begin to hear about what's going on the inside of the house, and they come expecting God to do great, marvelous things in their life because they've heard tell that there's one that can help them. And He's in the house. Boy, ain't that good preaching for churches today? Hey, if we could just get a vision of what Christ has done for us, if we could just grab a hold of all that Jesus has done for us, and all the mercy that's been extended, and all the grace that's been given, and He truly fall back and experience the goodness and the grace of God, and allow the Holy Ghost to come by and to fill us up, and to just get a hold of our hearts. Boy, I'll tell you what, we go back out in this lost the dying world, and we tell everybody we come in contact with, boy, y'all come to East Florida Baptist Church and experience what God's doing down there. He's saving souls. He's stirring hearts. Hey, there's some people shouting. There's women crying. Hey, God's got a hold of that place. And you know what they're doing? They're supporting missions. They're going in the highways and the hedges, and they're telling everybody they come in contact with that Jesus saves, and that there's an antidote for their problem. There's a cure for their disease. And I'll tell you what, I believe I'm going to come down yonder and see if I can't get me some of that. The Bible says right here, at even when the sun did set, they brought unto Him all that were diseased. I'll tell you what, I believe on the outside of that church or on the outside of that house, there's people coming from all around. Oh yeah, they'd heard about Him from John the Baptist. They'd heard what He had done down there at the River Jordan. They'd heard about what He had done for the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue that day. And I believe they were coming expecting His consolation. They were expecting Jesus to do something great for Him, for them. When's the last time you come to church expecting God to show up? When's the last time you come to church expecting God to do something great in your life? When's the last time you woke up and said, God, this is a day that You've made, and I'm expecting You to do great things? No, a lot of times we wake up and we say, well, I've got to go to work today. God, I've got to go to school today. Oh, it's another day in the grind. It's another day at the meal. Oh, I can't wait to get home, get back to my recliner and sit down and watch my TV. And that's the outlook of so many people. I'll tell you what, that's why the church is not growing. That's why the church is not doing everything that God says that we could do. It's because we're so focused upon ourselves. Get our minds off of us and get our eyes upon Jesus, expecting His consolation to do something great in our life. I'll tell you what, He wants to bring relief, amen? He wants to support you in what you're doing. And that's the greatest consolation that God can give, is to realize He's near. He ain't far away. A lot of people think, well, God's way off there somewhere. No, God's right here in our heart for the believer, for the born-again child of God. He's right here. We just got to call upon Him and ask Him to do something, expecting His consolation. All those that were diseased, those were miserable. Those were ill. Those were possessed with devils. Means to literally be under the power of a demon. There were those that were overcome by the demons of hell, and they were on the outside of the house expecting God to help them, expecting Jesus to do something great. And the Bible says there in verse number 33, and all the city was gathered together there at the door. They were gathered together right there in one place, looking for Jesus to do something great. We also see in verse number 34, not only were they expecting His consolation, but they were experiencing His control. But I'll tell you what, Jesus has the power. He has the capability. He has the control over everything in this world. You say, well, the devil's awful powerful. The devil's awful strong. The devil made me do it. Now, I'll tell you what, Jesus is more powerful than the devil. Amen. You realize that the devil can't even come and tempt you. He can't knock upon your heart. He can't get in your mind unless he goes by permission of the Lord Jesus. And my friend, when he comes our way, Jesus has allowed him to do that to see if we're going to walk with him or if we're going to walk against him. Are we going to live for him or go against him in some other way? Hey, the Bible here says they were coming. They were experiencing his control. The Bible says there in verse number 34, it says, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. And I'll tell you what, he has the ability to heal. Amen. Hey, He can heal. To heal means to serve. It means to do service to one. It means to heal them, to cure them. It means to restore them to health. I'm talking about right in the way in which that God created you to be. God didn't create you to be an adulterer. God didn't create you to be one that loves pornography. God didn't create you to be a drunkard or a dope head. What God created you to be was a child of God wanting to live and serve give your life for the Lord Jesus. Hey, all of a sudden, these folks begin to experience the control of God. My friend, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people on Baptist pews tonight that have never truly experienced the control of God. You're always in the driver's seat, always in control. I'll tell you what, we need to get out of the driver's seat and let Jesus get in charge. Amen. We need to get off the throne of our heart and allow Jesus to sit down and begin to experience what He can do in and through our lives. But I'll tell you what, these folks begin to experience His control. The Bible says that He cast out many devils. Hey, He cast them out. He did away with them. He drove them out. He sent them out. Hey, a lot of times that's meant with the notion of violence. And I'll tell you what, if you've got a vice in your life, it's not going to be easy to overcome it. If you've got something that you cling to and you say, this is my little outlet, this right here is my vice, this right here is what that I do to keep my sanity. I'll tell you what, there's sometimes Jesus draws a line and He says, if you're going to walk with me, you've got to lay that down. If you're going to live for me, you've got to leave that behind. And I'm not talking about putting it down and picking it back up again. I'm talking about leaving it and laying it down forever. And my friend, that comes with pain sometimes. But I'll tell you what, Jesus can help you out. He can cast that away from you. He can drive it out from you if you're looking to experience His control. We find not only is there an antidote, always an antidote, for those that are entertaining His company, inquiring His conclusion, embracing His capability, exalting His concern, expecting His consolation, experiencing His control, but for those that are explaining His character. Now we find here that Jesus forbid these from telling whom that He was. The Bible says there, and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew Him. I'll tell you what, they knew whom God was. There's a lot of people that proclaim to be Christians. They wouldn't know God if they got hemmed up with Him in a broom closet. But I'll tell you what, the devil knows whom Jesus is. And he knows that He's real. He knows that He's powerful. He knows that He has the ability to overcome. He knows that He has the audacity. He has the ability to go forth and to live through your life and make you the victorious Christian that God wants you to be. The devil knows that. The Bible says here that He forbid them. He suffered them not. That suffer not means He did not permit them or allow them. He hindered them from doing the very thing of speaking up because they knew Him. Now, I don't believe the devils were allowed to speak on that day. But I'll tell you what, we as God's children, if there's going to be a cure for our weakness, if there's going to be some help in our time of trouble and our time of sorrow, we need to begin to explain the character of God and realize that in the depths of His character lies love. In the depths of His character lies holiness. In the depths of whom God is lies purity. In the depths of whom God is made up of, He is righteous. He is holy. There's nothing in Him except light and glory and beauty and splendor. And my friend, we need to realize if we're going to be anything that we can be in God's kingdom, we need to line up with His character. We need to strive to be more like Him. Let me ask you this tonight as we get ready to close. Are you accepting His compassion? Are you accepting His compassion tonight? Do you realize that Jesus suffered for you? Jesus died for you and shed of His life's blood. Gave everything that He had right there on Calvary so that you could live and live abundantly. People here tonight, there might be somebody here tonight that's never experienced the born-again salvation that the Lord Jesus can bring. You've never experienced what it means to truly have an antidote for your weakness, for your sickness, which ultimately is sin. And there's no answer. You have not the cure. I'll tell you what, you can experience that tonight if you'll accept Him. Just embrace Him. Acknowledge Him tonight. Maybe somebody here tonight, you're saved. You know you're saved.
But there's just some problems in your life that you just they're overwhelming you. Let me ask you, have you accepted His compassion tonight? Do you realize that He wants to walk with you through that valley? He wants to climb with you over that hilltop. A lot of people just want Jesus to come along and help him during their burdens. But I'll tell you what, if you embrace Him and you enjoy, embrace His company, my friend, He'll be right there with you whenever you're in a season of blessing, not only when you're in a time of burden. I'll tell you what, we need to look unto Him. He's the antidote tonight. If you come here wondering what's going to help me in this situation in my life, let me tell you, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.